Praise the Lord, everyone. This is Prophet Conrad Bowman of Transformation Ministries, and I'm coming to you live from the Prophet's house here before I shut all the lights down and everything and go back to my place and get ready for Thanksgiving this year. I want to thank each and every one of you who have kept me held up in prayer. Especially in this season of my life where God is just disconnecting old dross and he is elevating me to a totally new place in him. Hallelujah. But I'm just so thankful for all my prayer partners, and I thank God for my staff and also spiritual children and people that God is calling for my life. I tell you, you never know what God has in store for you until you really, really embrace him for real and embrace everything that comes along with it. And I've come through the worst of times, and now I'm about to go into a season where I'll never be stopped going into the best of times. I decree and declare it in Jesus' name, and you can too. You're about to see the best of times. Hallelujah. And even if times don't get better, and for the most part they won't, but guess what? You will. And God in you, the hope, and Jesus in you, the hope of glory, is going to take charge in this next season. I prophesy into your life. The Holy Spirit is going to take charge. He's going to take charge of everything concerning you. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to be talking about preparing to engage the enemy. This is the second part of the spiritual warfare series that I said will be coming to you guys, this study that I'm doing. And a lot of you, I know, have heard this teaching, different churches that I've preached in different places that I ministered, even on the phone lines and even through the School of the Prophets. And I'll just throw that in. The Sons of Issachar School of the Prophets is coming up in January. It starts on January 7th. And one class is for advanced and one class is for introductory and beginners. But we're going to have a time in the Lord. I mean, there's field trips lined up for prophetic evangelism at the mall and at the supermarket. And we're going to be hitting a whole lot of different subjects. And we're going to have all our tools and our tallits and anointed oil and different homework and papers that we're going to be writing. Yeah, welcome to class. Welcome back. But you can see all that information on the event page if you look up the second module of the Sons of Issachar School of the Prophets. I believe in town for Memphis is $60 registration and $80 is for out-of-towners. But you're going to get your DVDs sent to you and your manuals and everything and your certificates and all of your paperwork. But check out that event page, and I'd love to see you here in January. But let's go on with this lesson. We're starting this, the second part, and we're really going to be talking about authority, which is much needed in the body. I remember, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, the Lord said to me that he's going to begin to take the power of the name of Jesus out of some people's mouths who have been using it like jelly or using it like mayonnaise, sprinkling and spreading it on everything that God has not ordained or guaranteed a breakthrough in. Some of you know Jesus on the paper. Some of you know Jesus by Bible stories, but not many of us know Jesus, the Son of the Living God, God the Son, in a personal experience or personal way, because not many of us have gone through the test, passed the test, to come out on the other side of through to experience Jesus to the point that he is a person. That he can only one way to be respected and only one way to be disrespected, because he is one person. And it's time for you to get to know him for real. But when we talk about preparing to engage the enemy in spiritual warfare, we already established that you got to be saved, number one. If you're going to be doing any kind of spiritual warfare, you must be saved. And when you are saved, that means that the enemy knows your name. We're going to talk a little bit about, in a couple minutes, about the sons of Sceva, who the enemy didn't know their names because they weren't written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not your tongues that chase demons. It's not how many times and how hard and how loud you can say Jesus. But it is that the fact that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you ought to rejoice and know that the enemy is frightened of you because you have a seat of authority in Christ. Somebody say, in Christ. Amen, somebody. And you got to understand that in preparing for warfare, one of the things I've taught my people is you never, don't use cliches, use the word of God. Why would you step up to a spirit, come on now, that tried to cause insurrection in the heavenlies before the earth had a moon, before we had a sun, before the water was separated from the land, before man, before animals, before time? You're going to step up to a spirit millenniums, many millennia old, talking about shoot your best shot. You finna get your head blown off because you are out of your lane. You are out of your rank. You are out of authority. Use the word of God. And that's what betrays us when we don't use the word. Because there's a certain place that when you step up in the Lord and step up in your walk with God, that the enemy's got to respect you like he sees the Lord. But many times our words don't match up with our life. So we start speaking stuff that is not causing any yokes to be destroyed. They're not even broken. A lot of times when you have those things that aren't destroyed in your own life, you begin to encourage and help strongholds rather than destroy them, or help yokes rather than break them and destroy them. So, but let's get into the word. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy 2 and 3. I'm going to read that very quickly for you. And it says this, 2 Timothy 2 and 3 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." We're talking about prerequisites for spiritual warfare. You must have, number one, endurance. Write this down, endurance. That's what 2 Timothy 2 and 3 is talking about. This endurance is the ability to endure and withstand hardship, adversity, or stress. We are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to go with me to Psalm 139 and 22. Come on, go with me to Psalm 139 and 22. And actually, just to help you, I'm doing these lessons from the spiritual warfare, or how to wage warfare manual that is available, and also the Sons of Issachar School of Prophets manual is available. Just throwing those in there for the people who want to know. Amen. We're here in Psalm 139 and verse 22. It says this, "I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." What it's talking about is you have to have a hatred for evil. Or hatred means an extreme dislike or antipathy, loathing for something. In spiritual warfare, you have to have a hatred for evil and evil spirits. You can't be like, "Well, I like witchcraft just a little bit. It makes me, it excites me." It just, no, you have to have a hatred for evil and evil things. You can't be friends with the enemy and want to war against him. That confuses him and really shows him that you're confused and you don't know what you're doing. But let's go here. Let's go 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. One of the other aspects you must have is knowledge. You must have knowledge. A lot of times the enemy gets over on us because we don't know, and we're ignorant. "Well, I don't need to know that." Well, how do you know that you don't need to know that? There are many things that you don't know that is controlling your life right now. Let's go here. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. And it says this. Oh, God. Let's start at verse 10. "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Knowledge, you got to be knowledge. I know we say knowledge is power, but really this knowledge is really referring, we're leaning more to the wisdom of the Lord, and you need the wisdom of God to understand, number one, holy things, as it says in Proverbs, and the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy understanding. So we know that when you get knowledge, that it brings understanding, and you need the knowledge of the Lord so that you can understand matters that are happening in your life. Many things don't have teeth, tongue, or lips, but they're speaking in your life. Just as Jesus cursed the fig tree, it wasn't necessarily saying anything, but it said that he answered the fig tree. You only answer something that speaks to you first. So you've got to confront those things in your life that are speaking. No, it may not be a person, but it may be that situation. It may be that habit. It may be that spirit that you can't see, that you need to put the blood on, that you need to put the name of Jesus on, that you need to put your authority on. Amen. Come on, let's go. Psalms 18 and 37. Psalm 18, 37 is really talking about endurance and really persistence. Being persistent. And it says this, 18 and 37 says, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. Somebody say destroyed. Persistence is the ability to go on resolutely or stubbornly in spite of oppression. We must be persistent in dealing with the enemy. Now let's take it on back. Let's go on to 2 Timothy. Going back to 2 Timothy 2 and 14. 2 and 14 says this, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Separation. You have to have separation. You can't stay with sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful or dance with wolves if you're going to move in the anointing of God. There has to be a separation. A lot of times there's a season of separation with those of you, especially with a prophetic anointing that you don't understand, that really helps you to separate and helps you to move out. See, a lot of times when the anointing comes, a lot of us pray, oh, I want to be anointed, I want to be anointed. But you don't understand the purpose of that anointing. The purpose of that anointing comes to weed out and to chalk up and to bring up things in your life that need to be dealt with. Hallelujah. So you can get things in order before you go on to purpose. But separation is to get or keep apart. No man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. I want you to put this down, and many of you may not have heard this word before, but we've heard it preached many, many times, is the word dunamis, which means powers, explosive powers, dynamic powers, dynamite power. It's the anointing, that anointing, you know, and it represents power. But what we lack is exousia, and exousia is delegated authority from God. Is delegated authority. You may have power, but you need authority to move in that power. Come on, somebody. You must know that your position in Christ puts you above all power besides the Godhead. In fact, if God made us any more powerful, we would breach the Godhead. Lord, have mercy. So he sat us in a seat inside of his Son, and now we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So what Jesus is heir to, what Jesus inherits, I inherit. What is God's is mine. Hallelujah. What comes from heaven is sitting in my chest and in my possession and in my mouth. And all I got to do is open my mouth and speak the decrees and the declarings of God, the declarations of God, the promises of God, the prophecies of God, the word of God, and it is mine. It's mine. You got to understand that you have a power with God, but The power only works with authority. You know, I didn't even know that I'd be wearing something blue today. But blue speaks of authority. Blue represents authority. In fact, the blue on the high priest's robe represented delegated authority from God. It represented that his authority came from heaven. Blue represents divinity. It represents the heavenlies. And you got to understand that you've got to have authority. I can't stress it enough. We have so many people in church hucking a sign and preaching hard and laying hands. And I mean, you laying so hands so hard, you know, you slapping folk down and their wigs coming off and you're leaving red prints on people's faces from you slapping them down. But you don't have authority, because you could have authority where you could blink and the demon would have to come out. You could have so much authority that you could ball up your socks and throw it at someone that doesn't have a leg and a leg grows out. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about authority from God. I'm talking about authority from on high. That things, you begin to decree and declare things that happen in not just in services, but in your everyday life, in people's lives, in people's affairs, in people's matters of everyday life. Things that are happening in different countries, you can decree and declare, and it goes into operation as soon as you finish saying it, because your authority is not from man, but your authority comes from God. As we say again, Luke 10:19 declares, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." We got to define the word engage. No, it doesn't mean to be married. Let's define what engage means. To engage in battle means to occupy the attention of, or to enter into conflict with. Makes you think about who you engage to, though, doesn't it? Are you engaged? Oh, Lord, let me stop. I'll get in trouble. Joshua was told to engage the enemy. Most of us are reluctant or don't know how to rightfully engage the enemy, because we are, number one, ignorant, or number two, we're not aligned with God to the point that we have power and authority. It says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, and power. And one without the other leaves you high and dry. Lord have mercy. Most of us speaking in tongues than more, you know, than a man on the moon, but you can't make a headache leave. You know, you can't get over a hangnail. Come on, somebody. You need power with God, and that power doesn't just come from just being saved or salvation. That power comes when you come into contact with the Spirit of the living God, and you believe and walk out his word. You may have got saved, but the power and the authority of God is what moves you into exousia, and then you know you are converted, because that power comes and it emanates from a place of governmental status that you decree now. You just don't ask God. You don't beg God. You decree, you declare, you proclaim, you prophesy that thing. Lord have mercy. You can have power, please get it, but get God's authority to be, let it be a reality in your life. You see, power works this way. You can have a nice Ferrari and you can have all the horsepower to run down many other cars in the neighborhood and beat them and run through red lights and everything else. You can have all the horsepower you want in your car, but the authority that I have as a police officer says that I represent the law. I represent the fullness of the authority of the law of the land. And when I stand in front of you, I don't care if it's a green light, you have to stop. That means that you have authority over the power. Come on, somebody say authority over the power. When he was talking about having that authority or that power over all the works or all the plots of the enemy, means that you have ruled, you have delegated authority, that you tell the enemy to go here and he must go. Because not because you screaming hard, not because you screaming and saying, bind you devil, Satan the Lord God rebuke thee. that you, when you move in exousia authority, you don't have to say, Satan, the Lord God rebuke thee, because the Lord God that's rebuking Satan is inside of you. So you say, I bind, I rebuke, and I cast out Satan, every principality, every power, every rule of darkness of this world, and every spiritual wickedness in high places set against my life, set against my family, set against my ministry, set against my loved ones, set against my finances. I command it to be loosed now in the name of Jesus. When you speak like that, and it's not a voice thing, it's not you trying to make yourself sound powerful. It's a power that comes from within you. It's when you walk in power. You wake up in this power. You wake up. Many times I wake up scaring folks, speaking in tongues. I wake up praying. I wake up decreeing, because it's coming out of my spirit. It's not something that I read. It's not something that I heard and sound good. It is an experience that I had with God. And by having that encounter with God, he said, come on over here, let me give you some power so you can walk this prophetic walk out, so you can walk out this walk of the saints of God, so you can walk out the life of the believer. But you can't walk out the life of the believer if you don't have authority over the devil. Let me calm down. I'm preaching now. Go with me. Come on. I feel the anointing. Let's go here to Acts chapter 19. I can't make another move until we go to Acts chapter 19. And I want you to start with me. Let's go. Acts chapter 19. Let's start here. Jesus. In verse 11. This is a ministry that I'm starting to understand all the more of handkerchiefs. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, and that's funny, even back then you had Jewish exorcists going places trying to cast out the devil. You got the devil I need to cast out. Come on out here. I need to show them I got power. Come on. I need to see somebody levitate. Come on. Let me. Come on. Do the circus. In many of our churches, that's all we got is the circus, because the demons in the preacher, the demons in the usher, the demons in the prophet, the demons in the mother. I mean, it's just demons performing, demons dancing, demons shouting, demons speaking in tongues. But demons can't purify. Lord, have mercy. Demons can't walk in true holiness. Demons can't cast another demon out. Lord, have mercy. Itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus. It ain't even Jesus no more. He is the Jesus, because they're not owned by Jesus. But we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Oh, God. Got to hit this devil right here. You want to move in authority, but it's Bishop Jake's authority. You want to decree and declare, but you decreeing and declaring like Cindy Trim. You want to preach and prophesy, but you trying to be what prophet is buying them. Lord, have mercy. You want an anointing for finance, so you walking around here like you're Dr. Price. Evidence. But you ain't got no evidence in your spirit, ain't no power in your spirit. That comes with an experience. There's an anointing that God wants to give you that is not Paul's, that is not Elijah's, that is not Moses's. You have your own mantle. It's nice. Yours is going to resemble that of the saints that came before. But when you really walk in the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, you operate in the authority, according to Hebrews 11, that they could have never walked in the Old Testament, because the promise was not given to them. But the promise, they longed for the promise of the Savior, of the Messiah. They longed for the promise and the benefits that he would bring. Lord, have mercy, that you have on the inside of your spirit, that you ain't even using half, that you ain't even halfway using. You don't even have not tapped the potential of the power of God on the inside of you. That greater works, those multiple miracles that are waiting to be manifested on the inside of you, but you can't move in them trying to be like like somebody else. You got to say, God, give me my own anointing. Give me an anointing that destroys yokes, God, not like anybody else. Give me my own mantle, God. Give me my own mandate. Give me my own commission. Give me my own oil. Jesus. Verse 14 says, also there were seven sons of Sceva and a Jewish priest. We talk about the seven sons of Sceva, but we see that they were a group of these guys, Jewish, itinerant Jewish exorcists, and seven sons of Sceva and a Jewish high priest. On top of that, a group of folk out in the street just trying to prove a point. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, the word, and Paul I know, someone who knows the word, and the word knows them, but who are you? I've never met you before. Who are you? I've never even known you on the circuit to be somebody praying. I mean, who are you? Prophet who? Pastor who? Bishop who? Apostle what? Chief apostle, ha! You ain't nobody. You ain't got no legal right or authority to cast me out. Because first of all, the person that I'm in has submitted their will unto me. Now, the person you're supposed to be in, which is Jesus Christ, or at least him in you, you haven't even said yes to. You're not even submitted to the Lord of hosts. So how can you cast this host spirit out? That was a nugget for somebody. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. Why is the enemy leaping on the church, overpowering the church, and prevailing against the church? Because the church does not have authority. The remnant got authority, but the church, the mass majority, ain't got no authority. It's time to get authority. So that they fled out of the house, Lord have mercy, naked and wounded. Really, in the way that they came in, naked and wounded. You're trying to fight the enemy giving you a ghetto butt extension cord whooping. You just naked, he just wetting the strap, just whipping you. You got to know your authority. You know your authority. There's certain things that don't even welcome themselves. There's certain things that walk out when you walk in. There's certain things that don't come by and visit when that's your place of residence in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say exousia. Somebody say authority. And I can hear somebody's spirit now. Ooh, please go over the five authorities. I so want to, but the time it ain't here yet. We're going to go over what it is that Memshek authority and Kratos authority and Iscus authority. But we got to get exousia down first. We don't get exousia down. What's the point? Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked man flees, though no one pursue, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Be as bold as a lion, but don't be bold in your flesh. Be bold in the word. Be bold in the spirit. Be bold after what God has given you. These lessons, especially this one, is trying to teach you how to put your finger on the enemy. How to lock up his activities. How to stop him in his tracks. But you can't stop him in his tracks if you're helping him. You can't stop the enemy if you're helping pass his tracks out and pass out his agenda and his propaganda. And he does that through magnification. He does that through evil things, through sight. Magnification and deception. One of the words for occult means in secrecy, in darkness. If you're doing something in secrecy and in darkness, you don't have to be doing witchcraft to be in the occult or doing something occult. It's time to walk in the light. Beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. When you have the light on the inside of you, the enemy can't even see you in certain realms. He's got to feel for you because that light of the Lord, it shines in his face. He can't see you. I'm prophesying. He can't see what's going on with your marriage. when you get in the Word. He can't see what's going on with your children when you get in the Word. He can't see what's going on with your ministry when you get in the light of the Word. He can't see what's going on with your church when you get in the light of the world. He can't get, oh God, hallelujah. He can't see what's going on with your business when you get in the light of the Word. He can't see what's going on with your car when you get in the light of the Word. He can't see what's going on with your pastor when you get in the light of the Word. He can't see what's going on with everything that concerns you when you get in the light of the Word.